come away with me from the story for just a moment. And I want to talk about the purpose of the book of Genesis, which, by the way, if you don't know it, is the first book of the Bible. And Genesis has a purpose beyond the many stories it tells of these wonderful, fantastic people that go through lots of adventures. The book of Genesis actually claims something very bold. It claims that God is the center of all things. And that God, whether we see him, is in the midst of all of our lives and all of our choices. The book of Genesis full of the stories of named people, people who loved and quarreled, people who believed and doubted, people who had children and married, people who succeeded and failed, people who experienced sin and also grace. And if we pay attention to the wonderful stories found in Genesis, we might find that we too are living variations of those same stories. Today we focus on Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. You know them. Jacob also had a twin brother by the name of Esau. Esau was the older of the two. And if you know the story well, do you guys know the story? It's pretty sad, actually, about siblings. The older son usually receives the blessing of the father, right? Okay? But with the help of his mother, Rebekah, when Isaac the father was older and ready to bestow the blessing, Jacob disguised himself as his brother Esau. For Esau, if you know it, had a lot of fur on his arms. You know anybody like that in your life? Has a lot of hairy fur? My brother-in-law does. And whenever we go on vacation, no, I'm kidding. Anyway, but Esau, you know, had a lot of fur. So Jacob had gotten to a point in his life where he couldn't see very well, but he wanted to bestow the blessing on his elder son. So Jacob decides, hey, I can be Esau very easily. And his mom helps him, and he puts his fur on his arm, and he goes to, you know, meet his dad on his deathbed, and he lays there just with his arm right next to, you know. So he puts his hand on him to bless him, feels the fur, right? And he stole his brother's blessing. That's not very nice, right? This is the beginning of the story of Jacob, this guy that we're supposed to talk about, who loved Rebecca, who loved Rachel so much, and obviously had the love of his mother. And then Jacob has this dream where God tells Jacob that God will indeed bless him. It was a blessing much like the one Abraham and Sarah received, where he would be given land and abundance, and God would watch over and protect him and his people. And Jacob woke up from the dream, and he said, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't even know it." Soon after he encountered God, Jacob encountered shepherds grazing their sheep. And as we heard so beautifully from Scripture, right? These were Laban's sheep, the sheep of his uncle. And the shepherds introduced Jacob to Rachel, one of Laban's daughters, and they had this great happy meeting where families coming together and there's a sense of connection and hope and of course, God's blessing. And then it says Jacob kissed Rachel. Wow. How many times in the Bible do you hear about somebody kissing somebody romantically? Not very often. And certainly not at a first meeting, right? I mean, this is like, he saw her, she was beautiful, and he's like, you know, I mean, like, that's kind of intense. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't any, like, you know, getting to know you, you know what I mean? Like, being polite, you know, escorted by the male, you know, so that they're never alone together. You know, he just kisses her, right? Right away. And Rachel then, of course, what? Ran to daddy. You know, hey, I want you to meet Jacob. And they have this huge embrace and negotiated the negotiations. And Jacob worked 7 years on Laban's land for Rachel. Now, there's a part of the story I left out. It's kind of the hardest part in my mind. Because the wedding comes. And as is the custom even today, there was a beautiful ceremony, but the way they did it back then, which is why it's so surprising that Jacob kissed Rachel like that, right, is that she had this big veil over her face the whole time, during the whole ceremony and the reception and everything. So you never really could see her face. And then, of course, as still is the case, there was lots of probably wine consumed and fun times, right? And so it wasn't until the morning when Jacob realized he did not marry his beloved, but he had been tricked, and he married Leah. Let's take just a break for a second. We use the phrase falling in love kind of flippantly, don't we? In 1623, Shakespeare published a play, and he called As You Like It. And in the play, the main character, Rosalind, asked the question, "What think you of falling in love?" It would be something I would have asked Jacob. What think you of falling in love? So then he goes to his father-in-law and he says, "Hey, you know, come on. We had this little agreement, right? We're supposed to be family. You welcomed me into your home. You hugged me. I fell in love with your daughter. I worked 7 years. I show up at the wedding. I do everything that is expected of me. And you give me Leah." And not only, you know, do we hear that Rachel was beautiful and wonderful, right? But the only thing we hear about Leah is that she had really nice eyes. So I'm thinking that, you know, that's great, but, you know, hey, poor Leah, right? Yeah, what about Leah? It certainly wasn't a love story for her, right? I mean, her dad, like, shoves her onto this guy who doesn't even want to marry her. But then, this is what's beautiful. Laban says to him, "It is the custom to marry my eldest daughter first." Oh, good, good, Laban. Well done. Work 7 more years, and you can have Rachel. What would you do? Well, I'll tell you what. I kind of think to myself, Jacob stole Esau's blessing. Remember that? Sometimes when we do wrong things, the consequences don't come right away. I mean, you think people are getting away with doing bad things, right? All the time. I mean, they speed, or they drive drunk, or they are crazy, or they go about, you know, stealing people's business monies, or making horrible transactions, or lying on their taxes, and you're thinking to yourself, hey, they're getting away with it, right? And I'm sitting here being this average good person who is doing everything I'm supposed to do, right? And things don't go my way ever. Do you ever think that way? Maybe sometimes, I don't know, but here's Jacob's due. Do you ever get disappointed in life? Do you ever not get what you want? Have you ever worked 7 years for something that you really, really wanted and really thought you deserved, and at the end of the road you were handed a bad card? But Jacob loved Rachel. How can you not love that part of the Bible? He loved her. And he worked another 7 years, 14 years for her. When I was in seminary, I used to talk about this story and how much I loved it. And I, you know, I'm sort of romantic, so I always wanted a really nice guy to work 14 years for me. I mean, that would be amazing. But, you know, it hasn't happened yet. Anyway, but in seminary, I had this really great friend named Dave. And he knew I loved the story, and he was very fluent in Hebrew and Aramaic, and he was a biblical scholar, and he's now an Old Testament professor in Chicago. But he would tease me, and he would say, you know, my parents have a wonderful love story. And I was like, okay. He's like, well, my dad really wanted to buy my mom the nicest engagement ring. And so he worked 7 years. It was 7 years in the fields of Canada on a farm. I mean, it's exactly similar story, really similar story. And the reason he waited 7 years is he really wanted to buy her a beautiful ring. So he buys her this beautiful ring, he asks her to marry him, and then they wait a little while for a nice wedding, and they have this big, beautiful ceremony, and everything's wonderful. And then one day, she's out there working the field. They were farmers. She loses the ring. Can't find it worth anything. I mean, it's gone. You can feel the devastation, right? I mean, this is, you know, 7 years, you know, this ring was, right? So they went out to the field and they looked 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 and they never found the ring. But Dave used to tell me, my dad loved my mom. And it wasn't really about the ring. So Jacob worked 14 years for Rachel. Now, many of you probably are not romantics. I know most of you probably aren't, because most people are not. And that's okay. You don't have to be romantic. I don't think this story says that. But every biblical story tells us about God much more than about us. God loves us like Jacob loved Rachel. And God gave the gift of Jesus, his only beloved son, so that we might know of his love for us. Now, there's one thing I want you to take away from today's story. I think sometimes when we come to church or when we volunteer or when we're in our family, we have chores or whatever, we think of it as labor, as work, as something we have to do, and we're guilted into it, right? Do you guys ever have to clean your room, Nicholas and Annabelle, or do anything around the house? I like to pick on them because they're in here with their family. But anyway, you know, I mean, does anybody have any kind of, you know, chores they have to do that feel kind of like a have to, right? Ever? Shoveling, maybe? I don't know. The Lord doesn't want you to feel when you work for him that it is a burden. He wants you to love him so that if you work 14 years laboriously without anything you wanted, maybe meeting disappointments halfway through, knowing that your work is for God and for love. For now and forevermore. Amen.